that mean it's on? I first want to start off with a prayer before I get into this. It's always an honor to really delve into God's word and just go down the road that He's given you. I know a lot of times when I'm asked to preach, it's topical. Well, guess what? Tonight, it's topical again. So. Father, I thank you for another opportunity to be here tonight, Lord God. I just pray for anyone that is still coming or whatever, Lord God, that you'll just bless them with safe travel, Lord. Bless those that have come out tonight, Father. I pray that your word will be heard, Father. Help me to not get in your way, Lord God. I just pray that you will continue to bless this church spiritually by the preaching and the teaching of your uncompromising word, Lord. Just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I made a little roadmap of some of the scriptures when I prepared this thing last night. I printed it out, and all the scriptures that I touch on are actually on that little roadmap. And there's a picture of a wolf in sheep's clothing at the pulpit. That is not a picture of me. But it gives you a clue in a lot of those scriptures that I'll touch on and try to explain is the direction that I'm going, and there's a reason. My kickoff scripture is in Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 12. Titled this message, Bereans Liked It Boneless. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believe also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. You can be seated. Tonight, I'm going to jump headfirst into the much-ignored biblical warnings of false teaching and false teachers, not only in our own town, but across the map. I know, why are you going there, Brother Dave? Well, let me start off by saying it's all over the Bible, all over it. From Moses dealing with the Egyptians, to Jesus warning us, to the apostles, Peter, John, to many of the writings of Paul, it's everywhere and it's still here today. The Bible has an abundance of this stuff in it for a reason. Amen. Why would it be in there? It's in there for a reason. We need to be aware of it, we need to recognize it, and we need to expose it. Amen. This is why the Bereans are a good example for us to follow today. Paul said the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians. Now, Paul was not knocking the Thessalonians here. The whole first chapter of the book of Thessalonians is actually Paul giving them love and props to the Thessalonians. They, as it says, the Bereans, what he was saying about them was that they took it to another level. The Bereans took it to another level. Why? Verse 11 says that they searched daily whether Paul's message was lining up with God's word. You weren't pulling the wool over the Bereans' eyes. You weren't going to stand up there and babble. So if we take hold of the example the Berean church set back in the book of Acts, we will not be fooled or compromise God's word. The prosperity movement and entertainment have become the norm in most churches. Not some of them, most of them. Easy believism. Bringing unsaved folks into the church and having them serve right away. Using techniques of the world to lure people in. Giveaways, free whatever, concerts. Why? Because unsaved folks don't want to hear the true word of God preached. Amen. Let me say that part again. Unsaved folks don't want to hear the true word of God preached. Amen. They're all fired up when the music's playing. But when God's word's being preached, it becomes a good time to use the bathroom or roam the halls. Or they start thumbing on their tablet or their phone, whatever. But today's church folks are interested in a church or a preacher that allows them to keep the worldly lifestyle and be saved at the same time without any conviction. A nice guy that preaches the, quote, love of Jesus, unquote. Amen. Paul enlightens us on this type of church in 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We see this everywhere. Everywhere. I like to use the old saying, where there's smoke, there's fire. I know Pastor and Jake have heard me say that a lot. The biblical term would be called discernment. Hey, when you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit, you can discern whether somebody's smoking. Okay? Think about, even if it doesn't come to the Bible, something you know, and somebody comes up to you and tells you stuff about it, and it ain't right. You're discerning whether that's right or wrong. Okay? So when you're saved, you can discern if you're reading the Word of God. Amen. Well, they do this right and they do that right, but they allow this. Well, I smell smoke. I smell smoke. Many folks been sitting under it for years and they still can't see through it. Why? They become desensitized. It's like folks that smoke cigarettes. Initially, they could smell it, but they became used to it. And you being a non-smoker, on the outside, you could smell it on their breath, on their clothes, in their hair. It's nasty. Amen. But they're used to it now. They're comfortable with it. Negatively indoctrinated. But hopefully, their eyes will be opened before it's too late. So what kind of example did Jesus or the apostles give us for situations like this? Acts 16, 16 through 18. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto you, us the way of salvation." Well, that sounds great, right? So far, so good, other than the soothsaying thing. "And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out that same hour." This girl was testifying truthfully about who Paul and Silas were. So why did Paul rebuke and cast out the demon? By today's standards, folks would have been saying, "Come on, Paul, we know she's a soothsayer, but at least Christ was preached, right? Maybe someone will get saved by some of the true things that she said about you and Jesus. Just pick out the maggots and eat the bones. Or pick out the bones and eat the chicken or whatever." So as we read on, did Paul apologize for casting out the demon? No. No. "Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, she did say some true things about me and Jesus. You know, I take that back." No. Mm-mm. So how did Jesus handle testifying, demons testifying on his behalf? Well, if we go to Mark chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. "And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace, and come out of him.'" Luke 4:41. "And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of God.' And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ." Amen. Jesus did not shut these demons up just because it was not his time to be known. He also did this because he will not accept testimony from a demon. Okay? He don't want to hear it. Yeah, but they were giving you and the apostles credit, so at least there was some good in it. Hey, Judas probably did a lot of good in the, 3.5 years that he walked with Jesus, but Judas is in hell today.
Amen.
Okay? 2 John 1, 9 and 10. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Hey, I often hear people try to defend Joel Osteen like this. He twists. I mean, he uses scripture when he talks. I mean, preaches. Oh, yeah? You know what else he does? He denied that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. More than one time. He said homosexuals will be accepted in the kingdom of heaven. And we know that 1 Corinthians 6:9 says that that ain't happening. And he never talks about hell. He never talks about sin. Nothing. I can go on all night about him. But I ain't going to. But let me ask you, between the demon-possessed girl and Joel Osteen, I mean, really?
Amen.
So we've heard Pastor Keith talk about how counterfeit money looks like the real thing. So much so that you cannot tell by looking at it or feeling it anymore. That's the point, right? That's the point of being counterfeit. It has to look exactly like the real thing. Well, pretty much. That's how false teachers and preachers operate. They want it to look genuine. They want it to look as real as possible without you knowing it, without you knowing that it's fake. Think about that. That's the same thing that the devil does in his churches across the world with his ministers. Here's another example. I wish my brother was here tonight because he made it. My brother used to sell fake Gucci watches back when he was in college for $40. And these things were nice. I mean, they came in the night. He wasn't out there in a trench coat with, you know. They were actually in these little cases and stuff. They were knockoffs, but they looked nice. I mean, they really did look real. Now, some of these people that bought them, they were thinking, you know, these things fell off the truck, you know what I mean, and they were legit. They really thought that these things were the real deal. But in reality, what they had was a counterfeit piece of junk. Okay, and they did not know it because some people were giving them as gifts for Christmas. So, but the scary thing is Christians are in the same situation. We're in the same situation. It's a scary place to be. Are you sitting under a studying sound doctrine? And if you answered yes, are you sure? Are you sure? Because God's word will give us all those answers. Are you following God's word, or are you following the so-called pastor or church and taking their words and ways as gospel? So where does this counterfeit gospel come from? 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers... if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Satan is the greatest counterfeiter of all time. He ain't walking around in a red suit with a pitchfork in his hand and horns sticking out of his head. Okay? He's wearing custom-fitted, top-of-the-line suits, sporting a really nice smile and telling you how today is going to be a great day.
Amen.
These guys are dangerous. You have to pay attention. Counterfeiting's gotten so good that when you hand over a $20 bill or more to a cashier, they squirm a little bit. They immediately start going under. They got to grab their little tool, and they check and see if that bill, that 20 or whatever it is above it, is legit before they'll accept it. We can do the same thing as Christians, as Bible believers.
Amen.
How many folks are pulling out their Bible to test what a lot of these so-called pastors are saying and how they're living? And why do people get so defensive when you bring up obvious unbiblical faults in their church that should have them running for the door? The Bible says you should be running from it. Romans 16, 17 and 18 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine." I want to read that part again. "Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them.
Amen.
For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Woo! Deceive the hearts of the simple. "For they that are such serve not our Lord." The word is telling us that they do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, right there. Most of these false teachers are focusing on money, attendance, and comfort. "Well, we don't want to offend anyone because they might never come back and then they won't get saved." These churches often mistake the word compromising for the word loving.
Amen.
I said that before about seeing that A&E with intervention. Somebody's on drugs and they interview the parent and he's like, "Well, you know, I give them money because I don't want them to go out and try and take it from somebody else and get killed." So you're giving them money, well, because I love them so much. You're compromising. You're not loving them. So with that said, who did Jesus bless financially in the Bible? How about Peter and Andrew? Matthew 4, 19 and 20, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Did Jesus say he would double their earthly salary if they came and followed him? They left their livelihood. They left everything they had. How about Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea? How about Saul of Tarsus? These three guys were very wealthy. And the moment they committed to following Jesus, they lost everything. They lost it all. Speaking of Jesus, here's one of his most famous prosperity scriptures. And I'll be reading it out of the NMT for this one. The NMT, the New Mistranslation. Luke 9:58, "And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath private jets and Rolls Royces, and not..." No. "The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." God and the person of Jesus Christ did not have two pennies to rub together. And you're going to justify being a millionaire or a billionaire? I've been reading the Bible for a few years now, and I still can't find any of this twisted financial blessing nonsense anywhere in the New Testament.
Amen.
These false teachers, they are extorting money out of folks that obviously lack biblical knowledge.
Amen.
Obviously. And you might be one of them. Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Brothers and sisters, the blame cannot all be put on the false teachers.
That's good.
Amen.
A lot of it goes on to people sitting under it with a compromising heart, showing up every Sunday, tolerating what they know is wrong, willing to pick out the maggots and still eat the rotten chicken.
Amen.
Refusing to acknowledge what the Bible says because they love their pastor or they love their church.
Amen.
Ephesians 4:4 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They're so blinded by how nice a guy or lady their pastor is that they go by what he or she says, what he or she teaches, or how they feel. And by the way, 1 Timothy 3 is very clear that women cannot be pastors. Very clear.
Amen.
That ain't smoke that I smell. That's fire. That's fire. So lace up your running shoes on that one. Oh, he or she is such a nice person, Brother Dave. They cut grass for free in the neighborhood. They give food and book bags away. And then come Sunday morning, instead of preaching the gospel, which God called his true pastors to do,
Amen.
They're telling stories about how Jesus gave them a big old hug in the heavenlies.
Amen.
And God told me this and God told me that. Or they shut down the church for 2 weeks and post a note on the front door saying it's because the congregation ain't giving enough money.
Amen.
Or they pass the basket around 3-4 times every service for this and that offering.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
That's a huge problem across the board.
Amen.
Huge.
Amen.
Hey, getting back to the God told me this stuff, the Bible has been canonized, and I know Pastor has said that, canonized. That nothing else can be added to the Bible.
Amen.
That's what that means. We're not adding anything else. The writing is done. When God or an angel spoke to anyone, it was added to the Scripture.
Amen.
So if you're saying God or an angel spoke to you in a dream or a vision or in your bedroom or whatever it was, not only are you mistaken, or maybe your medication was really good at the time, but you are now adding to God's word. Okay? That's serious. You're adding to God's word. Revelation 22:18 says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." God does speak to us today. There's no doubt about it. But he speaks to us through his written word.
Amen.
Getting back to our so-called pastors focusing on money. Jesus was not focusing on money. Jesus was into saving souls, blessing folks spiritually.
Amen.
Jesus was into salvation.
Amen.
Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That was his mission. That's his mission today.
Amen.
Dying on the cross and paying for our sins with his perfect blood sacrifice. Look, if he cared about having money, he would have made the rich young ruler his chief apostle.
Amen.
He would have started his ministry calling the wealthy folks at the synagogue or the temple. He wouldn't have wasted his time on the low-class folks at the Sea of Galilee. When he took the coin from the fish's mouth to pay his taxes, he probably would have told Peter and the crew to go back to fishing. I want to bless you guys and make it easier for you to live here, so, you know, to help you be more comfortable. So every time you bring in a net full of these babies, it's about $1 million worth of these coins come with it. That ain't what he did. That's not what he did. So what did he say about being financially blessed? Matthew 19:23-24. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Now it's not saying that rich folks don't go to heaven. But what it is saying, having money makes it much harder. It makes it much more difficult because you rely on your money instead of your Lord. Think about it. Money gets you out of everything right now. Down here, gets you out of anything. If you got it, you won't go to jail. You can do whatever you want. Prosperity preacher Kenneth Copeland, you know I wasn't going to leave him out tonight.
Amen. Amen.
And there is YouTube video, all this stuff that I'm talking about with these guys. Kenneth Copeland said, and there's a million things that he said that just makes your hair stand up on your arms. God was telling him to ask his followers for $20 million so he can buy a private jet that would be, oh yeah, and I quote, only what was becoming to you, Lord Jesus. That's what he said, unquote. That's what it was going to be used for. Well, he lied. Because there was documented vacations and hunting trips and at the ministry's expense, of course. Anybody got a problem with that?
Amen.
I do. Oh, by the way, he has his own airport and a fleet of planes.
Nice.
And for that said plane, it costs about $3 million a year just to maintain and keep. Just if you're a numbers person. Now, I remember, might have been last year, Brother Madison told me that he used to go to Victory Christian Center, and they wanted to bring T.D. Jakes in there to speak. And Jakes' staff replied with some of the requirements that needed met to get him there. He said something like a $60,000 sound system, fly dude, his wife and his handlers, first class to and from California. He'd need paid for his performance. You'd have to pay for admission to hear him speak. Exactly. All these whole high-profile pastors, so-called pastors, do this, though. Not just him. Creflo Dollar, Joyce Meyer, Rick Warren, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I know. Why is Brother Dave talking about him or her? They're God's anointed. I like them. He needs to leave them alone. Well, let me say this. They are not God's anointed.
Amen.
They are not God's anointed.
Amen.
And if you're thinking that way right now, then this is your reality check. This sermon's for you today.
Amen.
As I said earlier, false religion and false teaching has been around since the beginning. Moses dealt with it with the Egyptians. Jeremiah with Judah. Ezekiel dealt with it. And the New Testament is loaded with it. Jesus, John, Peter, Paul, anything they wrote, anything Jesus addressed. And what did they do about it? Ah, that's all right. At least Christ was preached. No, that's all good. No. They exposed it. They exposed this stuff. That's why it's in the pages. If the Lord didn't want it exposed, he would have left it out of his Bible.
Amen.
Hey, count the exclamation points in Matthew 23 and you tell me about the love of Jesus.
Amen.
I'm tired of these false teachers and false preachers
Amen.
Leading people astray. I'm tired of it. They're all over Youngstown. All over the place. Outside of this church, you'll have to look long and hard in this city to find a real, true, God-fearing, Bible-preaching church. And don't ask me because I don't know of one. Brother Dave, he's a heresy hunter. Yeah, I am.
Amen.
I am. And if you come here and I'm sitting there, you better be prepared.
Amen.
Should we not warn these folks about dangerous things?
Amen.
If someone grabs a bottle of Drano and is about to drink it in front of you, you're going to let them drink it? Or you just sit there quietly, you know, sit back and just hope for the best. I got a prosperity question. How much did Jesus or the apostles charge to hear God's word?
Uh-huh.
New tunic, new sandals, new camel named Bentley. No, nothing. Romans 3:23 is one of my favorite verses to quote. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gift of God, the gift. Somebody paid for it, but the receiver gets it for free.
Amen.
Jesus Christ paid the price for us to be saved. And all we got to do is receive it.
Amen.
The gift of God. Repent. Confess Jesus as Lord. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Where did Jesus say we would receive our rewards?
Amen.
Come on now. Tell us.
When we retire, when we receive our second baptism. Now, I'm being silly now because there ain't no such thing. Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The non-believer, the so-called pastor, and the misled church attendee will receive their reward of eternal suffering in the lake of fire, as Matthew 7 tells us. Our reward as true believers is not some Cadillac we walked around seven times, amen, or some stupid plane that we extorted from our ministry.
Amen.
Our reward is not comfort on earth. It's not money to buy stuff.
Amen.
Our rewards are spiritual.
Amen.
Our rewards come in the afterlife, in heaven. Heaven, I was talking to Big Dave last Sunday, and he was saying how he kind of ain't been feeling real good. But I was like, you know what? We've been praying for you to get better, and we never stop. But you know what? You're going to get there. You're going to be there where there is no more pain. There is no more suffering. That's going to be Big Dave's reward. I don't think they got a post office up there, so he's going to be all right. So our rewards are in heaven. That's going to be our home as believers. So stop worrying about who's going to be president or what evil party to vote for. Do we trust Jesus to get us through while we're still here? Do we? Oh, we need a Texas Hold'em tournament or a bingo so our church don't close. Well, if you trust the Lord like you say you do, then trust that He will provide.
Amen.
Worldly, unbiblical techniques are not the answer. Besides, some of those abominations need to close anyhow.
Amen.
If you haven't noticed, it's getting down to crunch time, and the end is near. If you take a look around and a listen, you'll see it. Government laws that are completely against God's word and His people seem to be made daily. Suicides, mass shootings, brutal murders are increasing rapidly. You can see it's worse than it's ever been, and it will continue to get worse. Anybody that tells you it won't is lying, or they just don't know. It doesn't matter who gets elected president. The Bible tells us this also in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away.
Amen.
2 Peter 2, 1 through 3 says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now I'm closing out. But you know, we always say that if it's mentioned in the Bible three times, that God wants you to pay attention to it. You know, some folks say that's confirmation. You hear it three times. Well, God warns us about these false teachers, and it's a lot more than three times, folks.
Okay.
It's a lot more. Way more than three times. If we truly trust in the Lord like we say we do, we'll put aside our feelings for some teacher or some preacher that gets it half right.
Amen.
and will abide by the Lord's uncompromising word. Do you like it boneless, like the Bereans did?
Amen.
Or will you be one of the Lord folks in Matthew 7? Father, I thank you, Lord God, for coming out tonight, Lord, with us, Father. And I just pray, Lord God, that your word was preached tonight. I pray that it was heard, Father. I just pray, Father God, that you will continue to bless Pastor and his family and Brother Ant and Brother Dave, Lord God. I just pray that you'll be with them, Father. I pray that your word will always be our cornerstone here, Father. We thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross and paying for our sins. That gift, Father God, that you gave to us, Father. All we got to do is receive it. And we do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.